All right, starting off with the players that did not participate in practice. Obviously, Gilmore with a wrist, Hopkins with the right groin, Goodwin has a hand, Brooks with a foot, Urbick with a knee, McKelvin with a hamstring, Carrington with a quad, Stevie Johnson with a hamstring, Mario Williams with an ankle, Kyle Williams with an Achilles. Limited was Bird and Marcel Darius, and full participation in practice, Ligurski and Spiller.
On Kyle Williams, is that the same injury from last season, or can you tweak it, or?
Don't know. I have to check with the guys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wasn't here. They just said it's sore, and I'm not sure if it was from the last year. I didn't ask that question.
What are your thoughts on having Ligurski back?
Good.
I'm really good. He did a very good job of working during the rehab, and actually, Pat and I talked this morning about it, Pat Morris, and I thought in the individual drills that he actually looked better now than he did when he was going. And it's just a matter of looking at him during the week and then making a decision.
What are the concerns you have on defense, knowing that right now it looks like your defensive starting lineup is very unsettled? What concerns do you have going into this game?
Yeah, I believe you're specifically unsettled from a standpoint of the back end, right, the secondary.
Well, Kyle, too.
We're going to be – yeah, we're fine there. Yeah, we're fine up front.
The back end. Though.
Yeah, the back end. The back end, you know, what we're doing is, you know, obviously, you know, Liotis is in the mix still, okay, and it's day-to-day. So while he's not out there, we're going through different combinations, you know, being obviously, A, ready for him to come back, you know, different combinations of players, different combinations of schematics, you know, man zone, matchups, things like that, and seeing what the best thing, you know, for us or gives us the best opportunity to be successful. So that process is really going to be, you know, day to day as we go into practice and evaluating it afterwards. We do have – the great thing about it is we do have a lot of flexibility, you know, with Aaron.
Part of that is Aaron, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
because you've got Jimmy Leonard and Searcy who play.
Jimmy, Searcy, Duke. You know, Duke Williams out there, and then, you know, we have, you know, the corners, and Aaron can go back and forth, and Liotis is still in the mix. So, you know, it's exciting because, you know, people are going to have an opportunity, you know, and see what they can do.
When you look at that situation, Aaron being a third-year guy who did play 2 years a corner, is it almost frightening to think that, you know, Burton, Adams, Nickel really have not had much experience. Do you almost have to think that Aaron has to be your guy if Liotis can't play?
At corner.
I don't know if I would ever say, you know, he has to be that guy. I really haven't thought of it that way yet. Okay. So, but I'm not saying I wouldn't be thinking that way maybe later on in the week. You know, like I said, I think I'm at a point where, you know, I feel good. I think the way I look at the situation is I really think Aaron Williams was developing into a really, really good safety, you know what I'm saying, in this league, one of the, you know, a potential top-tier type safety for us. And, you know, moving him back to corner and watching him play. And I don't think, you know, it's difficult for me because I don't think people realize it's obviously much different, that those two positions. You know, when he went in the game and you watch what he did, you know, when they threw the ball his way, I mean, he was in real very good tight coverage of a position that he hasn't played in a long time. And up on the ball in somebody's face and going. So, you know, for him to do that, I look at it as, hey, we're losing that development from that situation where we think that's – where we know that's where he'll be, you know, with us back there. But
– go ahead. I was just going to say, how do you pick up Justin Rogers from last week?
I think – you know what? We're all competitors in this game. And this is not the – you know, Justin Rogers is not the first player to have a poor game. And the one thing about it is that – you know, he's on this team. He's out there practicing. And like I said, you know, after the game, the one thing that I appreciate is, you know, competing. You know, it would be different if he fell down, if he wasn't near the player, couldn't do it. But, you know, he's right there to make that play. And we know it's very close. And we just keep pushing him to be able to do that. This sport, you have to be so mentally tough, especially at corner. You know, the two positions when you're out on islands, people will talk about corner and left tackle. You know, you got to be able to forget and come back the next play. Because if you can't, you're not going to really last in this league. And I think that's something that we all know. So, you know, he's got to shake it off. He went out there today, competed his butt off, and that's what we expected from him.
Might this be the week that Jairus Byrd might finally wake up and say that he'll feel good?
Well, I don't want to use words like, you know, wake up and things like that, okay? But I would rather say he's working extremely hard to get back. And, you know, again, I keep going back to that same statement I've said because it's the truth. You know, it's a condition, you know, that, you know, we haven't been able to get over this one last hurdle. And I think when we get over the one last hurdle, he'll be ready to go.
Could you comment on Alan Branch and what you've seen from him? Played a lot of snaps last week.
He did. He did play a lot of snaps. You know, we obviously had to put him in there, you know, with Marcel, you know, coming out. We were planning going into it to working him into more snaps, and we almost, you know, we were kind of forced to do that. You know, we don't think it's, you know, it's a very high number for him, but, you know, productive. You know, he's very difficult to move. He's a big body guy. You know, he might get upset with me saying that, but big body in a good way. And he can cause things, you know, cause problems, hard to move, freeze up linebackers, you know, has a bit, you know, a pretty good pass rush for a big guy. So, you know, we've been very happy with that acquisition. And he's been a very good professional and very good for the young kids.
Where is the run defense right now? You think what adjustments are going to be made in the run defense?
Oh, we just got to tackle. You know, we got to be able to tackle. You know, I think when we're tackling better, you know, and squeezing more and not overrunning some things, I think that, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, it's easy if it was just one guy, you know, but it's really a combination of making sure we're squeezing, pressing, getting off blocks up front. Okay, linebackers, make sure we're not filling, but make sure we're taking an advantage of what we see. If we see it, we need to go get it. Okay, and then obviously tackle better.
Do you think the way you're playing offense is hurting them by keeping them on the field too much? They've been on there almost 60% of the time.
And do I feel the way you play offense is contributing to that?
Yeah, I think that what's contributing to that is third down. I think third down from both sides. I think when you're talking about, you know, 46%, you know, what our opponents are converting, okay, on third down, and offensively, we're only converting 31%. I think that's what equals the time of possession and the amount of plays.
What do you think, and a specific situation, late first half, Jets game, the offense gets the ball with 1:41 to go, it's own 25. Quick three and out, Jets got the ball back with enough time to come down and drive the field.
Right.
What do you think of the merits of being a little more conservative?
Absolutely.
With no huddle inside of the 2-minute thing?
Well, the situation was this, looking back at it, and again, you know, I'm no different than the players. I have to look back at the game management portion of it. You know, we had a pass interference call on that series that led to a Jets field goal in that. But that's not the point of this conversation. I'm going to finish. That's not the point of this conversation. The point of the conversation was where we were prior. And looking back, here's a situation of exactly what was going through my mind. We were going to get the ball in the second half, okay? I tend to be aggressive, all right, before that. You know, what happened was is we took the sack for -9, all right? We come back. We make it up on second down, all right? So we go to you know, we get 9 or 10 yards, I believe. Then we get another short throw. Now we're down to third down, okay, a manageable third down, and we actually wanted to take a shot vertically down the field, and we wound up throwing an intermediate route incomplete. Now, that was my thought process going through it at that time, trying to be aggressive and trying to make something happen. In hindsight, looking back, okay, and going through it, when we took the sack and we were at second and 18 or 19, all right, and I told this to the team, you know, that we all make mistakes. You know, in hindsight, we go back, we take the sack, the percentages of making second 18 to a first down, run the football, either to use the timeouts, the clock goes down and go. So you're exactly right. I'm not going to sit up here and defend it. It was the right decision. It was a decision that I also questioned after the game.
Doug, running game, really, you've had, you know, Fred had the long run and CJ had one long run. You take those out of the mix, I know you don't, but really, without those two runs, your run game has been awesome. You may be below 2 yards a carry, all the other carries. So what has to change with, you know, getting the running game going?
I believe if I'm not mistaken, I think we're 5th in rushing yards and 8th in rushing average.
Right, but they got those two huge runs.
I'm talking about for the season.
Right, for the season. Exactly, for the season. It just seems like it's been a lot of carries of zero, negative yardage, and you're putting yourself in tough.
We have been. And I don't disagree with that. I would disagree where the overall thing, because it's like I say, they all count. Right. But I know you're right. But we do have to be more consistent. And we do have to do it. We have to get a better job. We have to do a better job of running. And I think it's a combination of everyone. Again, you know, how we block down the field, I think we have to do a better job up front. I think we have to do a better job of running it. And I think we have to do a better job of, you know, putting in situations, game planning, strategically, getting more looks, getting more situations, and running the ball more.
When you look at it, do you see the line creating gaps? And your running backs, CJ in particular, has had trouble, it seems, just not picking the right hole. And he's getting strung out to the wide side, and they're tracking him down.
Well, again, I'm going to go back to the same thing. I think it's very difficult to get a question like that and say, this is the one problem. It's very easy to fix, you know, or easier to fix one problem. I think, you know, one play it may be that, and the next play we might not get pushed, and the next play we may get beat, and I think that's what's going on. So the consistency, the one thing about the run game is that, you know, everybody has to win, you know, to a certain extent, all right? If one person breaks down and everyone else is doing the right thing, it's a negative play, and that's what makes it such a great team sport. So we have to do a better job in all those phases, but that's something that we are definitely working on and schematically putting them in better situation.
How did you go about teaching or mentoring EJ in handling pressure just the pressure, and especially the pressure he faced on Sunday and what he may face this weekend?
Well, I think we're very much aware of that, and those conversations take place. I don't mean this in a poor way, but those conversations are private. But we work on that. We work together on that. Myself, I'm heavily involved in that and talking with him when it comes down to that.
You must be confident that now that he's seen it, at least what he saw on Sunday, and I'm not saying the Ravens are going to do the same thing, but do you feel he's more capable, or how confident are you that he's going to be more capable of handling that pressure moving forward?
I'm confident. I am. And I think you know, here's a player that's going to get better and better.
But the Ravens defense.
I got to ask. Asked the first one, and then I'll get to you.
No, question for you about Manny Lawson. Can you talk about the job Manny's done? You know, he's kind of set the edge for you.
I thought he's done a much better job than I seen him do last year and on film of setting the edge and in the run game. And I've seen him do a very good job of being off the ball and playing some dime for us. So, you know, he's on the field. I think he's done a great job, and he's earned those snaps. You know, he's someone that has gotten extra snaps being on the field.
Off the field, does he bring a measure of leadership? He's been around a little bit.
I think he's an outstanding pro, one that we tell a lot of our younger players that they need to talk to about being a pro.
Just what stands out with the Ravens defense and how much similarities with the Jets defense?
There's a difference, you know, from just a pressure situation. Not to say that they wouldn't do the same thing. Those things happen. You know, you got to be prepared for that. The Jet defense, I believe, is one or two right now, you know, in the NFL. I think the Ravens defense obviously is up there quite a bit. And what I see is, I see a tough defense. I see a defense that has not given up a touchdown, you know, since the first game. That's very difficult to do in this league. You know, you're talking about eight quarters. They have not given up a rushing touchdown. They're tied for first in that. I believe that you've seen a team that I think they might be number one versus the rush, either one or two. So, they're built, you know, from a standpoint of they're strong, powerful, they're fast outside. And again, I think, you know, obviously this is a very challenging situation for our team. We've been challenged, you know, the last couple of weeks. Every week is a challenge for us to go out there, and we're playing against teams that are in the top 10. But I'd rather do that now and get to see where we are and play against them.
Back to time of possession. I know the way you play offense, you're not going to win time of possession often, but would there ever be a time, if you continue to have these kind of numbers and not make third downs either way, where we can consider modifying the speed at which you play your offense?
If that's what it takes to win, absolutely. But I would say, you know, I'd be careful of writing that's not ever going to be that way. because, you know, I think that we were able to see last weekend, you know, Denver held the ball 5 to 6 minutes more than, you know, Oakland, and they were running a no-huddle type of attack. So, you know, I think that's why I always go back to, I believe it's the third down conversion rate, you know, of what you need. Because obviously, you know, if you have, you're running at a 46 to 48% third down conversion on offense and you're somewhere in the 34% on defense, you know, you're going to have the time of possession in your favor. But
okay, just I'm getting back to EJ for 1 second to follow up to what you said. You're heavily involved, obviously, in helping him learn to deal with. Can you be specific in terms of what you think he needs to? Is it recognition? Is it fundamentals under pressure? What is it that he needs to?
I mean, I don't see anything specific. When I was addressing a question to more of confidence and educating, that's how I was answering that question. So if that question was asked in the way you were, then that was wrong. But it's overall. But he's no different than what I might be saying to Robert Woods, what I might be saying, you know, to all the younger players, you know, that are playing. I think it's very important. There's ups and downs, you know, in everything that you do. And people are different. Some people, they react differently to things. And I just want to make sure they understand that where I'm coming from, what's expected of them, you know, what this league is, what goes on the outside, what is said, and trying to help them with my experience being around of maybe how to handle some of those things. You know, Paul Lancaster, we have him, obviously, that talks. He's our player development. You know, I think there's a big difference in players, first-year players. Then I think there's another category of second- or third-year players. And then I think after your third year, I think you're a veteran player. So I think those are three phases, you know, that the players go through.
So do you still think that EJ is having, you know, or EJ among your rookies is having to become accustomed to off the field, just regular, just off the field, you know, just how to handle himself off the field? And when I say handle himself, I'm just adjust to the time frame and just the needs and the bands off the field. When you bring up Paul Lancaster, obviously, you know, it's not, there's an adjustment period for all rookies.
I think for the whole league. I think for everyone that's playing. You know, I think that, you know, all of us, all 32 teams, are doing a very good job with their player development program. You know, we all work together on making sure that, you know, we're developing those players to become better, to become better adjusted to what the NFL is. And it goes back to being a pro, and that's important. You know, we have some great examples on this team. I believe Murph brought up Manny Lawson. You know, we also have some great, you know, examples on this coaching staff. You know, when we have, you know, Ike Hilliard, you know, with us. So there's a lot of good things for that, because I think we may tend to forget that's an important part of how we're developing them, not just only on the field, but more so off the field. And it comes to every asset of their life. And I'm a big believer in that. And I've always done that everywhere I've been as a position coach or a coordinator, you know, in the NFL. It's not just something that happens in high school and college in the youth football program, you know, because what's interesting about being around players, and I don't know if anyone ever gets to appreciate it, because I don't know if you're around them enough, but you can put yourself in a position where you can learn from them also. And I tell them all the time, I learn quite a bit from the players, you know, and becoming a better person, you know, and how they react and speak with me.
Is he trying to bite off one more than two? You know, at this point, EJ, his competitive nature is
high competitive nature. So, you know, and it goes back to, you know, I talk to him all the time. You know, hey, I have a high expectation of you. He has a high expectation of himself. He's extremely competitive. And at the same time, I think anyone that's extremely competitive, you know, you have to channel that, you know, to being productive.
What do you make of Flacco? What do you make of Flacco? He seems like great Super Bowl, obviously, last year, but he's been inconsistent. What do you see? Plus, he's lost some weapons this year, too.
He can make all the throws. I mean, he can throw it. I mean, I think, you know, like when I watch the film and I look at it, you know, I'm thinking, oof, he can throw that thing around. I mean, he can flick it out there, throw it around. You know, he can move well enough in the pocket to get it done. I think they're big and strong up front to protect him. You know, he gets hot, he can put it on those guys. I mean, he can throw it anywhere on the field. I'm very, very impressed with his arm. I mean, I really am. I was, you know, even when we were watching film with the defense, when I was with the defensive staff, I was like, look at that throw. You know, I mean, it's coming out there.
Coach, with Ogierski being a full participant, might he be a candidate to get cycled in and get some first-team reps?
I don't think we're at that stage yet with him, but I don't think we're at that.
When he gets to that stage, might he be a candidate for that?
We'll see how he's doing.
Doug, you often talk about the next thing, philosophy. How difficult is it to kind of establish a consistency with these guys when you kind of get new injuries every week? You got a starter coming out this week.
The philosophy, I missed the first
one. The next man up philosophy mm-hmm. where you get someone coming up. But how difficult is it to establish that consistency?
It's one that's a fact, but you don't want to keep saying it. You know what I mean? But it's the reality of the situation. You know, it's the reality of the situation. And, you know, we don't get a chance to deal in hypotheticals or anything. We have to deal with the reality of the situation of players, you know, being injured. And we have to be prepared for it, you know. And it's tough because you're always trying to manage it and get the players healthy. So, you know, the philosophy that I have is we have players on the practice squad. That's where we want to bring them up front. If we don't have players on that practice squad, then obviously, you know, Doug Whaley and Jim, they have lists for us to bring players in.
Exhausting, just injury after injury.
Well, you know, I think here's the situation. You know, if I came up here today and go, oh, guys, God, we don't have this guy, we don't have that guy. Oh, you know, I don't really know. I mean, could you imagine, you know, now the team's looking at you, what are they going to say? You know, they're going to say, well, I don't know if we have a shot, you know. And I think, you know, it's important. Hey, you know, this is a great challenge. This is a great opportunity. You know, we say it all the time. Players, you know, when they come out and they're new, they're going to be targeted, okay? That's the way the league is. It's been that way for forever, so it's not anything new. But as you become targeted, okay, you also get – an opportunity to show that you belong in this league. And that's the exciting part about it. And we've seen that year in and year out, you know, with players of, I don't know. You know, he practices okay. Hey, we got to, you know, get him out there. Well, he can't beat this person out. Well, all of a sudden that person got, you know, forbid that, you know, he gets injured and we feel sorry for that. But if that happens, now this player goes in there and all of a sudden you're going to know. You want an opportunity to be a starter? Here it comes. So, I mean, that's really how I look at it.